This is the first of two planned shiurim on the issue of buses. Today we will spend all of our time within buses l'davar ha'asur. It will spill over into the one on Wednesday, God willing, which will be buses l'davar ha'asur and l'davar ha'mutar. Yeah, as you can see on the sheets, I want to deal with some fundamental issues. We're not going to cover everything there is to discuss within buses. That's a pipe dream. But I hope to give enough of an outline that we understand what's going on, why it's going on, and some of the practical ramifications of it. Buses, basis, means, as far as we are concerned, an item which is itself not moktzah, but it is supporting, we have to define supporting, something that is moktzah. We have to talk about which kinds of moktzah it is supporting. And if it is supporting it at the time when Shabbos begins, then the bus's status of the lower item will remain through Shabbos, even if the muktzah item somehow is removed from it. So, in other words, there are really two issues within buses. One is the issue of while the item is on top of it, in which case it's muktzah, it becomes a buses for that item. And number two, if it was on top at the time when Shabbos began, then that muktzah status will be retained, the buses status will be retained, even after the muktzah item is removed. Okay? That's just basic definition with a whole lot of questions you have to ask about that. But I thought the best way I could tackle this is to start out with some of the principal cases that show up in the Gemara. And then we can build from there. So, if you look at Aleph on your sheet, this is the case of the egg in the nest. This is not in the order of most common case. This is in the order of where they show up in the Masechta. So, that's the way this is structured. So, egg in a nest. Beitza besoch kein. Amar Rabba bar chana amar b'yochanan. Amru halacha ki Rabbi Shimon. The law follows Rabbi Shimon, meaning as far as moktzah issues. So, umi amar b'yochanan hachi. Does Rabbi Yochanan really believe that? V'abba mineh hu saba keruya. V'amri la seruya me Rabbi Yochanan. There was a question asked by an elder of Keruya, just a place, or Seruya, alternatively. He asked Rabbi Yochanan the following question. Kina shel tarnagoles ma'ulatel tuli b'shabbos. Are you allowed to move a bird's nest on Shabbos? Omar lei klum asoi el l'tarnagolin. To which the response came, isn't it made just for chickens? And therefore it is muktzah. That's probably going to sound at some point. Therefore it is muktzah, but that shows, by giving that answer, by saying the bird's nest is muktzah, what he's saying is, I really follow Rabbi Yehuda. The bracketed words are my words that I've added in for clarification. So, to which their answer is, no, there is a dead bird within the nest, and therefore even Rabbi Shimon will say that the nest itself is muktzah. We then continue with the rest of the discussion, the dead bird or the egg or whatever it is, but already here we have shown that if the nest has a dead bird in it, the nest becomes a basis for the dead bird. Not the discussion about miko diskatsoi. That's not in this discussion. But just to show you, the nest supporting the dead bird is going to be muktzah. And really, the case that's going to be more relevant for us is actually the second iteration of this. When they're done talking about the dead bird, they then talk about the possibility that is, as you see in the last line, b'di'is be'beitza, where there is an egg in the nest. And we say the nest will become a buses for the egg. And the reason why I highlight that for you is because I didn't put the egg in the nest. The bird put the egg in the nest. Nonetheless, the nest becomes a buses for the egg. And this is going to be important when we talk about the question of whether something can be a buses for an item that came there on its own. We know about Meiniach versus Shochayach, if you saw the Marmakomos at all, that we normally say something only becomes a buses if you put the muktzah item there. But here you didn't put it there, and yet the lower item will become a buses anyway. So that's something that we're going to have to come back to, but that's one of the important reasons why we have to know this Gemara. Okay. Second source that we have, Beis, is talking about the lamp. And this one's come up all sorts of times in our discussions. Rami le Abaye le Rabbi Yosef. Abaye asks Rabbi Yosef a question. Mi amar Rabbi Shimon kavsa mutter letaltala. Kavsa in lo kavsa lo. Does Rabbi Shimon say that when the lamp goes out, you're allowed to move the lamp? Meaning, only once it goes out, but not beforehand. My time, oh why? Dilma Bahadi did not get la kavsa. The first assumption is that Rabbi Shimon doesn't want you moving the lamp while it is lit, lest you put out the lamp by doing so. So the Gemara says, Hashamine le Rabbi Shimon damar davashen miskave in mutter. But why would that bother Rabbi Shimon? That's not your intent. You're not trying to put out the lamp. Da da da. Ella Omar. Rava says, forget this idea that don't move the lamp lest you put it out. The reason is hanach lener shemen upsila hoel denase basis ledavar haaser. It's a cute pun with the word hanach, but he says the issue is that the lamp is a basis, is a base for the flame. That's your second example. Third example, source Gimel, Shabbos Nun Aleph Amud Beis, is the case of the vegetable. Taman v'kisa v'davar anito b'Shabbos. You had a vegetable, and you were tomein, you insulated it, you wrapped it. The wrapping here, we assume, there's a discussion about this, but we're going to assume the wrapping is around the sides, as opposed to the kisoy, which is on top. So you wrapped it and covered it with something you're allowed to move on Shabbos. Or, taman v'davar she'en anito b'Shabbos, v'kisa v'davar anito b'Shabbos, if the lid is something, the cover is something that you're allowed to move on Shabbos, I raise that note to the master, so it's no problem. Take off the lid, pull out the vegetable, put it back in, and you're fine. I don't care that the outer wrappings are moktzah, I'm not moving them. Everything is fine. Taman v'kisa v'davar she'en anito b'Shabbos. However, if you wrapped it and covered it in material you're not allowed to move on Shabbos, or just shetaman v'davar anito b'Shabbos v'kisa v'davar she'en anito b'Shabbos, just the cover is something you're not allowed to move on Shabbos. Either way, im hayam agula miktsa so no telu machzir. If it's partially uncovered, so you're allowed to take it out and put it back. That's its own discussion, not for right now. V'im lav, but otherwise, eino no telu machzir. You're not allowed to take it out and put it back. Why? As Rashi explains, because it is a basis for the item that is on top of it. And the reason why this is important is because here the upper item is serving the lower item. Right? You're calling the vegetable a basis for the kisui. Right? That's why we're looking at it. However, the kisui is only there in order to take care of the lower item. The standard case of basis that I'm used to thinking of is the other way around. The basis is serving whatever is on top of it. So that's something that we'd have to come back to as well. Right, and that will lead to the question of whether you can have a basis that is on top of something. We'll get to that also.
What kind of material would be muktzah anyway?
What kind of material would be muktzah? Any material that has no normal use. Grogos v'tzimukin, random pieces of straw, wood. Yeah.
The case of the ner. Yes. Ner is the basis to the shemen.
To the psila. To the shalhevis.
Right. Isn't the ner the basis to the shemen, basis to the psila, psila, shemen?
I adamantly refuse to open the question of the basis status of lamps and what is the item, because that opens up such a can of worms. Like you wouldn't believe as to what exactly is going on in the lamp flame discussion. I think you also had it at some point. It was relevant to one of your shiurim, and also you ducked it.
Probably the most relevant one that we have in buses for Long Lafta, for example.
Yeah. No, we'll talk about that in that sense. But in terms of the ins and outs of whether it's klisha machta, is it a bus? Is it a tzlam? What happens if it's no longer one of these? Well, one of the other statuses remain. It's not pretty. We then move out of sort of these early dafim in Shabbos and jump towards the end with source Dalet. So Dalet is Kufman Beis Amud Beis in Shabbos, and it's the issue of the stone on the barrel or the money on the pillow. So the Mishnah says, and this is where we get the Meiniach Shocheach distinction. The Mishnah says, Ha'evin Shafiach Chavis, if you have a stone on top of a barrel, Mata Al Tzida V'hino Felas, so you tilt the barrel and let the stone fall off. In other words, the barrel is not a basis. If the barrel were a basis, you wouldn't be allowed to do that. The barrel would be muktzah. You can't move it. However, if I want the barrel here, barrel is not a basis for the stone. Ha'isa bein
hachavios.
So that's what the Gemara is going to talk about. That's what the Gemara is going to discuss. Haisa ben achavios, if your barrel is among the other barrels, so you don't have the option of just tilting it, either because there's no room to tilt it, or because if you knock the stone off, it's going to hit another barrel and break it. Remember that chavios in the days of the Mishnah are not wooden barrels. They're clay amphora. So the Jeffrey knows that already from the Avodah Zarah here on Shabbos. So they're clay amphora. You knock your stone off, and it's going to break the amphora that's next to it. So the sorry, I got very excited about that reference. So so therefore, what do you do? Magbiha, you pick up the barrel. Umata al tida, you turn it on its side. Vihino fellas, and the stone will fall off. So I'm even allowed to do that, but again, it's not a busis.
Kind of smaller than a chavis.
Kind of, well, that's the Bava Basra discussion about Kan Chavis, right? Bava Kama also, a little bit. Mal Shal Akar. If money is on a pillow, so again, it's not a busis. Menairis Akarve, no flows. Just shift the pillow and it'll and the money will fall off. So the Gemara then says, Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav. Lo Shanu Ela Bishocheach. He says that only works if you forgot it on there and therefore did not create a busis. This is what teaches us that the lower item only becomes a busis if the upper item was placed there intentionally, if the muktzah item was placed there intentionally. If it was by accident, you forgot that it was there, you're fine. Avo b'meiniach na'aseh busis l'davar ha'asur, but if you put it there on purpose, then it won't work. Then the Gemara further along goes back to the money case. Mal shal hakar. Amar Chia Barashi Amar Rav, just like we said regarding the barrel, Lo Shanu Ela B'Shocheach, it's only if you forgot it, Avo B'Meiniach Nasa Basis L'Davar Ha'Asur. But then we get this other comment from Rabbi Yochanan, which is going to require clarification in the Gemara. Amar Rav Bar Barchana Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Shanu Ela L'Tzarech Gufo. This, and the problem is I don't know what this is referring to. Whether this is referring to the case of Meiniach or the case of Shocheach, well, we'll see. But he says this is only letzarech gufo. Aval letzarech mekamo metatlo v'odan alav. He says we only say this if you're moving it for the sake of its own use. However, if you want to use the place where it is, then metatlo v'odan alav. I can move the barrel with the money still on it. I can move the with the stone still on it. You know, I'm going to just come back to this line because we're not ready for the discussion of Rabbi Yochanan and what he's talking about yet. We've seen the main point here, which is we have two more cases: stone on barrel, money on pillow, and we've established the difference between where you left it there on purpose and when you forgot it there. We have a whole bunch of permutations of forgot it. Human beings are capable of forgetting in a lot of different ways. So that we'll have to talk about what exactly constitutes placement, what constitutes forgetting, and what happens in the gray areas in between. Hey, this is another very important case. This case is important because it's going to involve making a busis during Shabbos. I'm eating at my meal, and I put down the shells, or I put down the bones from the chicken, or whatever it is, another reason to be vegetarian. So if you look at Source Hay, from Kufnam Gimel Amad Aleph, Mishnah, Beishamai Omrim, Ma'avirin Me'al Shamel HaShulchan Atzamos Uklipin, Beishamai says you're allowed to remove from the table the bones and the shells, U'Beishel Omrim, Misalek Es HaTavla Kula U'Menara, and Beishel says you move the flat layer that is your tabletop, and you tilt them off, meaning it's not a busis. If we're a busis, you wouldn't be allowed to tilt the table and be able to remove it. So that's something we have to talk about. Also, the issue of busis during Shabbos is going to, making a busis on Shabbos as opposed to ben hashmashos is going to become relevant here as well. And then finally, the case from Kufnun Dalet Amud Beis in source Vav. And this is the case that is known as either Karnei De'umna, the blood letters tools, or Shlifei Zutri, small burdens. It's talking about somebody who has his animal come into town on Shabbos, and there's a burden on it that he wants to get off of the animal. So Amar Rav Huna, Haisa Behemto Tuna Klei Zechuches. If there's glass on the animal, what do you do? Maybe Karamuksasos, you bring a bunch of cushions to catch the burden. Uminiach Tachta, you put it below the animal. Umatir Achaval Masakin Noflim, undo the ropes in whatever permitted way you can on Shabbos, obviously, and the bags will fall onto the pillows. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, I have a Mishnah that says you're allowed to take kelim that are allowed to be moved on Shabbos. So why can't I just take the klei zechuches off of the animal? Why are you making me play this game? So Rav Huna is talking about where it is the blood letters tools, which are not suitable for use. We'll discuss them as mukta machmas mius later on. But that's why you aren't. That's why you aren't able to just take it off the animal. But the Gemara then says, "Well, wait a minute. Then I'm dropping it onto the pillows." No, we have a rule that you're not allowed to render a kli useless on Shabbos by in this case turning it into a basis. Right? This issue of why you're not allowed to make it useless right now, I'll just call it soser. It's an issue of destroying the kli. But the truth is that's a machlokes. There are different ways to understand why you're not allowed to be mevatel kli mehechano. But that's what I'm going to say for right now. So the Gemara answers, b'shlife zutri. We're talking about small bags. The small burdens. And therefore what? Why does it help you that these are small burdens? I could remove them on Shabbos, but how can I remove them on Shabbos? I mean, the implication is I'm going to just shake the pillow, right, and get them off of the pillow. But that means that the pillow does not become a basis for it. So that's part of the discussion that we have to have. So all of these cases are going to be quoted at different points within our discussion.
I don't know them about the klimei chano is equal to basis.
It's part of the discussion of basis. Whether it's the same or not doesn't matter because it doesn't. But mevatel klimei chano is different from basis in the sense that it has to occur during Shabbos. Whereas basis, we're talking about extending beyond when the muktzah is on it because it was migo diskatzai ben ashmashos. So in that sense, they're different.
Basis is a positive foundation for muktzah on top.
Yes.
Mevatel klimei chano means I'm removing positive use of the kli.
That just makes it two sides of the same coin. Since I'm able to make something a basis while the muktzah item is on it, assuming I'm able to do that, therefore I have now violated mevatel klimei chano. It's your choice as to how closely you want to link them, but they're on. If I'm successful in creating a basis, I have violated mevatel klimei chano. If it's not a problem of mevatel klimei chano, then I haven't created a basis. That's the relationship between the two. But one of the things that's going to come up here is you're telling me that you're not making a basis by dropping these light burdens onto the pillow, and you're allowed to shake them off. Why isn't that a problem of creating a basis? So we'll have to see. But one of the elements that's going to come from here is the discussion about what if I intended to remove the item from the place where it currently is. Since I intended to remove it, therefore maybe it doesn't create a basis. So we'll see. But that's part of the discussion. Okay, we've now seen some basic cases. Nachon. So, in order to discuss this, I thought we would discuss some theory first. So the first theory point is, why is moving a basis prohibited at all? What is it that turns the lower item, we're assuming it's physically lower, but lav davka, we'll see that. But what is it that turns the lower item into something muktza if there's nothing inherently muktza about it? So two different approaches are found in the Rishonim. The first approach is Rabbeinu Tam. The second approach we'll bring is Rashi. Rabbeinu Tam is, to me, the simplest approach to the issue. If you take a look at source Zion, he draws on the case of something that is covered with, a pot that is covered with muktzah items, as well as the case of asamos uklipin, the bones and shells. And what he's going to tell you is the reason why something becomes usher to move as a basis is because you don't intend to move it. If I make something a basis for a mukta item, that shows I don't intend to move it on Shabbos. I intend to leave it where it is. It's serving a mukta item, which I'm not allowed to move. I don't intend to move this item, the lower item, either on Shabbos. It's about my kavana, in other words. Take a look at Tosfos in Sor Zion. He says, Vikasha. He's talking again about the case that we saw in Gimel, where the food is wrapped and underneath a muktzah item. So he says, I don't understand. If you view this as like a case of meniach, that you put muktzah stuff on top of the vegetable, right, or on top of the pot, im kein b'megula miktzasa heichno t'lumachzir, then why did you tell me that if it's partially covered, partially uncovered, I'm allowed to take the vegetable out? I'm still moving the muktzah item that's on top. Mabein zela emin shapiyachabes. Why is this any different from the case of a stone on top of a barrel? Dasvinim b'meiniyach hafilu hatosal tzida. Where we say you're not allowed to tilt a barrel to get the stone off of it, right? So why would I be allowed to pull out the vegetable that's partially covered by muktzah materials? Va'od kasha l'rabbeinu tam. And further, Rabbeinu tam is bothered. Datnan Mishnah says noeres hakisui ve'noflos afilu ena megulos muktzah. That's a side question, not relevant for us right now. Va'kein omer Rabbeinu tam. So Rabbeinu tam answers. He says the answer is that in this case, the case where it is partially uncovered, you intended to take the vegetable out on Shabbos, and therefore it doesn't become a basis for the cover. He says the same thing is true regarding the bones on the table, where we said that the table is not a basis for the bones in the shells. He doesn't give the answer of that's because the bones and shells only arrived on Shabbos. That's a separate answer that will be brought in Tosfos as well, and we're going to come back to that point. But right now we're getting Rabbeinu Tam's answer. Rabbeinu Tam's answer is, why is it that you're allowed to tilt off the bones? It's not called meiniach for him. Why? Because you don't put the bones down at lunch thinking, I'd like these to be on my table for the rest of Shabbos. You're planning to leave them there until you clear the table. And then it's going to be gone. So Rabbeinu Tam's perspective is that the reason why something becomes a basis is you intend to leave the muktzah item on it and not to move the lower item anymore. Whereas Rashi gives you a different approach, one that is more philosophically elegant. Rashi's answer, and I think it came up in the shiur last week, is that it is tafel to, the basis is tafel to the item it is serving. It is subsidiary to the item it is serving, and therefore it adopts that item's muktzah status. Think ikar and tafel when it comes to a bracha, right? If I am eating, which one do I want to give that's going to not get me into trouble? How many different ways can you get in trouble by saying ikar and tafel wrong? Okay, I am eating ice cream, right? I have ice cream and a strawberry syrup, and there happens to be a strawberry on the ice cream. I think it's safe to say that that you make a shahakol on your ice cream, and then your strawberry is nichlal. It's not, you're not eating strawberries. You're eating ice cream and it happens to have strawberry syrup with a strawberry in it. Can we agree on that? That's called tafel?
Sure.
Yeah. I don't want to get into machlokes by ikar and tafel. I spend way too much time on that in Hilchos Asher. And I still don't understand it, Jerry. We tried. But the point is this. The strawberry is now under the shahakol rule of the ice cream. Because it is tafel to the ice cream, it has the shahakol rule of the ice cream. Same deal here. If my pillow is a basis for money that is on the pillow, can I put the money there saying I want the money to be there? The pillow is money also. That's the way we look at it. You can't pay for anything with it, but that's the way it works. Rashi says in Ches, L'davar ha'asur, he's dealing with the lamp issue. So he says the lamp is the basis for l'shal heves, for the flame. The b'chi hai mukta, in a mukta like that, mode Rabbi Shimon sha'kli tafel l'shal heves ba'oda bo, as I underlined. The kli is tafel to the flame. V'la mishum d'chayesh l'kaviya. The concern about moving it isn't about maybe you're going to knock out the flame. The issue of not moving it is that it has the same, the lamp has the same mukta status as the flame that is on it. That's the idea. And therefore, the item itself, the lower item itself is mukta. If you take a look at Tess, I brought you from the case of the barrel with the stone on it, when the Gemara says, Nasa chavis basis ladavar ha'asur, so Rashi says, va'asur atosa, no tilting it, sha'af ha'chavis mukta. The mukta status now inheres in the item that is the basis as well. That's Rashi's way to look at it. The Minchas Asher in Shabbos, Nun Beis, notes that in Rabbeinu Tam's case of the pot and the wool, right, where Rabbeinu Tam gave the answer of you don't intend to move the pot, the Rashba actually uses the Tafel language, like Rashi's language. He doesn't use Rabbeinu Tam's formulation. I had a thought to support the idea, to support Rashi's view. We have to discuss later the issue of what intent means. Right? So one of the questions that comes up is, what if the muktzah item is placed there intentionally by somebody other than the owner of the kli? right? I walk into your house and I put money down on your pillow. Does that work to make the pillow muktzah? The answer is no, right? That's easy. The answer is no. However, what if I did it for your benefit? I was actually helping you out by doing so. So in that case, is it effective? So the Or Zeruah says that it does. The Or Zeruah in Hilchos Erev Shabbos Chavtes quotes the Riva, who says that it does make it a basis. However, the Rama disagrees. Take a look at source Yud. The Rama writes, Afilu nita la isur misham, also the tatla kli, that's a general rule. The me'achar shenase basis the davar also the mitzvah Shabbos, also kol Shabbos kula. That wasn't the Rama that I wanted. Okay, that wasn't the Rama that I wanted, but the principle, in any case, which the Rama in Shin Tes Dalet says, is that it is mutter, as does the Magen Avram in Shin Tes Ches, quoting Tosfos on Mem Dalet Amud Beis, which I did bring you in Yud Aleph, where he says, Akarhu v'meniach ayri, he's talking about the money on the pillow, v'kasha deich yocholiyo sh'meniach ladas b'Shabbos. He's dealing with a case in which money is placed on a pillow on Shabbos. So he says, how did you knowingly put money on a pillow on Shabbos? How did that happen? V'yesh lomar kigon sh'niach nochri, the answer is a non-Jew put it there, or a tinok put it there, ladas Yisrael, with the das of the owner. The key is that we require the owner's das. Now, so far, it could fit Rabbeinu Tam or Rashi. Right now, we're just dealing with where you place the item without it being for his benefit. However, where you place the item for the benefit of the owner, and now I understand why I brought that Rama, but don't worry about it right now, but look at Yud Beis, which is the Magen Avraham, Shin Tes, it's Sif Katan Ches, and he says that he's commenting on the Mordechai. He gives you a case where Reuven put Shimon's kli under Shimon's lamp to catch the oil, the sparks, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But it's for his benefit. It's going to make him happy, right? He doesn't want the house to burn down. And that's why the Mordechai wasn't sure whether the item becomes a basis or not. So here's my point out of this. If the issue is really like Rabbeinu Tam, that it's about the owner's lack of intent to use the item, the owner doesn't even know that it's sitting underneath the lamp. I don't care if it's benefiting him. The owner isn't even aware it's there. So therefore, he certainly doesn't have any intent of, now I'm not going to use this lower item. If you say what Rashi says, that it's serving the upper item, and therefore it's tafel to it, so I'll say this is legitimate now that it's serving the upper item, because it is, and because the owner would leave it that way if he knew it was there. It makes sense that it's tafel to the upper item. I understand Rashi. I don't understand how Rabbeinu Tam would apply this, because Rabbeinu Tam makes it about the intent of the owner, and the owner doesn't even know.
You have to say there's an inherent das in the owner that whatever my friend does for me, the lichale, I would accept.
Yes.
Like Kenyan.
Right. Correct. I mean, that's what you'd have to say. But I like Rashi's formulation. I think it's a lot smoother for this case. Unless Rabbeinu Tam will say, I don't think this becomes a basis. Yeah, it's a machlokes.
That we had about Hotzos Ameis on Shabbos, where you put a kikor tinok on top,
yeah,
actually seems to follow Rashi. The heter is that you're making the mace tofel to the kikor and tinok.
Right.
And therefore you're really carrying the kikor over tinok, and because
of it certainly sounds more like the tofel, yeah, explanation. It's true.
Some of the flame is muktzah.
So I'm not going there. I'm just not going there. And I really don't want to open up the whole discussion of lamp. I apologize. The flame is muktzah. The flame is muktzah. Can we leave it?
Yeah.
Thank you. If you want to come back to it later, I can give you all sorts of sources that will not answer the question. Now, there's a whole lot of discussion about who is an owner for this purpose, which we're not going to do right now, but if you want to see some very interesting cases, the Archa Shabbos Perek Yates Ha'ara Shinit Sadi Hei discusses questions of things like you're in yeshiva and there's a shtender. So who owns the shtender? I put my muktzah item down on the shtender on Friday. Now nobody in the yeshiva can use it into Shabbos. He discusses case of a husband and wife. Right? What if the wife has an item and the husband puts his muktzah stuff down on the item before Shabbos? Does that now make it muktzah all through Shabbos? All sorts of fun cases that are worth exploring. Okay, but that's part one, in terms of how an item becomes a basis. Part two is the issue we've already referenced, which is, what's the relationship between the basis and the muktzah item? Is it, as I wrote on your sheet in the heading, yachas mikomi, It's simply spatial relationship. Upper versus lower. The lower item is the bus is for the upper one, which is what the word buses sounds like. Is it, as I called, yachas erki? Is it a value relationship? Meaning there's a more important item to the less important item, then the less important item serves the more important item. Can you say that? Nafkamina, a barrel with a rock that's on top of the barrel. Right? On the one hand, the barrel is lower, the rock is higher. On the other hand, the rock is meaningless to me. The barrel is holding my 100-year-old scotch. Right? Which one? I don't drink scotch wine. But for those who do, they...
More valuable for you?
Yeah, the rock may be more valuable for me. But that's a second way to look at it. Or a third, I couldn't resist, yachas teleologi. Right? There were other words that I could have used in Hebrew, but I chose not to. But purpose, the question of what is the purpose, meaning which one is the served item and which one is the servant. Classic example that gets discussed. I have a candelabra, which is slightly tilted. Right? The base isn't flat. Maybe it's sitting on an uneven surface. I want to make sure it's not going to get knocked over on Shabbos. I take a mutter item, and I put it on the candelabra in order to stabilize it. Well, the candelabra is the lower item. The candelabra is the more expensive item. However, the reason, and the reason why I'm putting this there is to serve the candelabra. Right? So which standard is it? Which one am I going to use to determine whether this is buses or not? Or which one is the buses at all? So you start your conversation with the case that we already referenced, the pot that's covered with usher material. The pot, right, from Nun Aleph Amud Aleph. Where we said the pot does not become a buses for the material that is covering it, even though the pot is the lower item. The cover is the upper item. We seem to be ignoring the spatial relationship, right? We're saying that it doesn't become a buses for it. The upper stuff is less valuable, and from a purpose perspective, the upper stuff is serving the lower item. So you could argue that it's because we go with purpose. You could argue that it's because we go with value. So some make the argument that it is in fact about value. Which one is more expensive and which one is less expensive. And this is found in one of the views brought in the Shita Mekubetzes in the beginning of Maseches Beitza in source Yud Gimel, discussing the case of the stone on top of the barrel. Umori harav hiksha dehamas nisin de'evin shapi achavis stamakitani. He says, the Mishnah that talks about a stone on top of a barrel, where we say that if you put it there, the barrel is in fact muktzah, as a buses. So it gives the case without describing to us the nature of the stone. It sounds like all stones. Even though it's not a hewn stone, it's not building materials. It's not one of the tiles that they have out there that they're working on in the lobby. It's not an important rock. Nonetheless, it's your barrel is a buses for this worthless stone. Further, it's not like there's a telos issue, there's a purpose issue. I'm putting my stone on top of the barrel so that my stone will be in its place. This is where I keep my stones, on top of barrels. Ve'od, and further, you have another buses case where I have a gourd, a hollowed out gourd that I use to draw water from a well. Problem is, if you hollow out a gourd and try to use it to draw water, when you try to drop it into the water, it's just going to float on top. Right? That's the way it works. So what do you need to do? You put a weight inside it. You put a stone inside of the gourd, and that will weigh down the gourd. So he says, in that case, assuming the stone is not glued to the inside of the gourd to become part of the gourd, we say you're not allowed to move the gourd because the gourd is a buses for the stone. I don't understand. It's a nothing piece of rock, right? And it's there to serve the gourd. The anime avne gazes. It's not one of these hewn stones. The makomaturfa yavlo lahachayabama. You leave it out in the open. It's just there as a weight. And, you know, you're going to leave it for the next guy to use in the well. Alkein pirish hu de bishnei inyanim nase basis. He says there are two different ways for something to become a basis. Kigon sheish hashivus besisus alav. Number one, if it is more important than the lower item. Like the money on the pillow. The pillow isn't benefiting from the from the money, right? But the money is the point isn't that the pillow wasn't needed for the money is what he's saying. Nonetheless, since the money is more, it's not my money doesn't need to be on a pillow, but since my money is more valuable than my pillow, the pillow is a buses for the money. And then he goes on to say a second point, but we're not there just yet. But that's his first view, is that it is about that which is more expensive, that which is more important, I should say. Fine. The dominant view, though, is that it's not really about value. It's about telos. It's about the purpose. This is only a basis if the mutter item serves the asur item. So if I have a lower item that is not serving the upper item, it does not become a basis for the upper item. So you have the Rashba who says this regarding the pot and the items that are on top of it in Source Yud Dalet. He says, Yesh lahakshos, regarding the pot, the same question that Rabbi Natan asked, right, that we already saw where was it? Sorry, the Tos was asked back in Zion. Was it in Zion? Yeah, it was in Zion, thank you. The second question that Rabbeinu Tam asked back in Zion, where he says, in Cain, if this is really a basis, if a pot is a basis for the covering, then afilu mitzas hakisui megula heyachitaltel. So even if it's only partially covered, how would you be allowed to take the pot? You're moving the stuff that's on top. Nasar kisui basu davar asur. That's his challenge. And his answer is Nira, jumping to Nira, Kamosha Kasab, who's on Parakola Kalim, Lafisha Ain Hakdera Nases Basis Latmano Lakisui Veina Tash Mishlahem. Because the pot is not a basis for the items that you're using to wrap it. The important thing, not important in terms of like the Shita Mikubetzes, but your structure is you have coverings that are serving the pot. He does the same thing in Source Tesvav, where in the beginning of Beitza he talks about cases like the lamp and the stone on top of the barrel, and makes the and he talks about the bones on the table as well. And I'll give you the bones on the table as a perfect example. Right? You're not putting the bones in shells on your table because you want the table to serve them. It's just there because you don't want them to be on the floor. They're going to make a mess in your house. That's not, he says, the same thing as having them be there as the purpose of them being there. Okay. So that's the position, that's the dominant position. It seems to be the position of the Shulchan Aruch in Reish Nuntes, Aleph. If you see, Source Tes, Zion. He says, Ve'avavi, the part that I bolded. I kept underlining, and here I bolded. Okay. Ve'avavi sheim aleha lo ichbas lan zlonasis basis lahen. We don't care about the cover that's on top of the pot. It is not a basis for it. And Mishnah Brura writes in Source Yud Zayin, "Lonas is basis da ein hakisui tash mishlat zemer," because the top of the pot, the lid of the pot that's underneath the wool, is not serving the wool. The wool is what's muktzah. That's on top of the lid. He's envisioning a case in which you have pot, lid, wool on top. Right. So the wool is what's muktzah, not the lid of the pot. So he says the lid is not serving the wool that's on top of it. Adarabah, just the opposite. Atzemer mishamish lakadeir lachamama. The wool is warming up the pot. Whole other discussion about Hatmana and Shabbos. Not our point right now. But that's the idea, is that it's really about purpose. Okay? It's not, they have that first view in the Shita Mikubetzes who says that it's about value. But then his second view, which we didn't read inside in the Shita Mikubetzes, but his second view there, as well as the view of the Rashba, as well as the Mishnah Brura's explanation of the Shulchan Aruch, is that it's about which is serving which. Could I go a step further and say that's my only consideration? Which is serving which? And that I don't care about space at all. In other words, if the upper item is serving the lower item, the upper item becomes asur as a basis. Could you get away with that? So in fact, the Prima Gadim thinks you can. If you take a look at Source Yud Ches, the Amr of Chista, Haikit Nisa, which is a ksonas that they put in brackets, Meshavu Lididam, Ikanya, Shari, Kanya Mimena, asur. He's talking about a case in which a shirt is hanging on a reed. This is a version of a hanger. But your reed is not a kli. Your reed, in fact, is muktzah. So the Gemara there says, if your shirt is hanging on of the reed, which is muktzah, but you can just pull the shirt off, then you're fine. Meaning, the clothing is the upper item, And it doesn't serve the lower reed. This is where the Bach explains the Gemara. The clothing is the upper item. It isn't serving the lower reed. So there's no reason for me to view the clothing as the buses for the reed. Right? The clothing is upper, and the clothing is the point. It's not taking care of the reed. So the Prima Gaddim comments on this. The Prima Gaddim has a great introduction in the beginning of Siman Shin Ches. Right? We have all these introductions in the beginning of Shin Ches. You have Mishabura's one, which is cribbed from the Beis Yosef. You have the Rush in his Tshuva. And you have the Prima Gaddim with his introduction. So the Prima Gaddim in his introduction, in Oz Dalet of the introduction, says what you see here in Yutes. V'meniach kli heter al pamut lemishkal. The case I gave before, you have a candelabra, and you have a mutter kli that you put on the candelabra just as a weight. Shlo yichva letzarecha letzarecher al pamut, because you don't want it to tilt over in the other direction. So im nomar da kli mishame shal iser, should we say that the kli you put there is serving the usher item, but the basis and therefore, in fact, it is a basis for the candelabra, and even after the candelabra goes out, you're stuck with it there. So he quotes you the Shud Eben Hashalom, dot, uledidi nira deze basis. He says, I think this is a basis. The basis doesn't have to be the lower item. It's serving the usher item. It is like the usher item, like the nitzvah line in Rashi. It requires some examination. That's its own discussion about a side point, about the intent for it to remain. But that's the Prima Gaddim's position. Rav Asher Weiss did not like this idea at all. Credit Rabbi Leibowitz for pointing this out. If you take a look at Source Chaf, he says, "Amnam beikar chidusha shel Prima Gaddim yesh la ha'ir tuva." I brought you the text that's found in the Minchas Asher. There's when you do Minchas Asher, you don't want to sit there and retype it. So what you do is you Google a phrase from the Minchas Asher and find out where he put this in an article online. So I didn't quite find the same piece, but it's the same idea, slightly different wording, and I gave you the link where you can find it online. He says, the word is basis. It means a foundation, a base. How in the world can you say that we're going to take it out of that altogether and just say it doesn't matter which one is upper and which one is lower? That's what it means. The granted Rashi's point that the heter is tafel to the iser. So it's about the purpose. It still has to be physically lower. Yeah, I don't know, but he is here. Actually, no, there are other cases where he is
willing to go away from the.
Here he really doesn't.
It's called buses, not tuffel.
Yeah, he really does not like this idea at all. He's against it. But that's the machlokes. So again, to sum up what we've said, besides the initial cases which we introduced. Number one, why is it that moving the buses is prohibited? Either because the buses is something you don't plan to use, Rabbeinu Tam, or Rashi, it's tafel to the muktzah item. And I thought you could support Rashi's view from the fact that we say that if the muktzah item is there on top of it without your knowledge, but it's to your benefit, there's a possibility that it still becomes a basis, even though you never said, I don't plan on using this. Nonetheless, it's tafel to it. That's a possible justification for Rashi. Second section, the issue of, is it the spatial relationship? Is it which one is more valuable? Or is it the teleological relationship? Which one is the purpose? So the dominant view, unlike that first view in the Shita Mekubetzes, is that it's about which one is the reason for this being there. That's the way that we look at it. Although, we're not really, the Mechaz Asher is not willing to go as far as the Prima Gaddim is. Even the Prima Gaddim was not sure. And to say that it's all about which one is the purpose, and that if the upper one is the purpose, is the main one there, if the lower one is the purpose, the upper one should become a basis of the lower one. That part of the Mechaz Asher is not willing to go. Jerry?
That has many branches.
Yes.
And then there's a real basis for your argument.
You're getting very philosophical about the word buses, the word and the word the purpose. But yes, okay.
Why is the great Rashi so? Just the fact that something is tough, though, why would that make it mukta?
But it's not. But it adopts the status of the ikar, just like the strawberry sitting on the ice cream. Yeah, it's viewed as part of the other item. Yeah. Okay. Third and last of the theory questions here. Is busis only set bein hashmashos, or can busis status develop if the isser is placed on it during Shabbos? So we already said in the beginning, and I bring you, I think, the Shulchan Aruch here as well in Chav Aleph. Yeah, I did. That generally speaking, the sort of busis that survives the presence of the muktzah item can only be created bein hashmashos under the principle of migo diskatzoi bein hashmashos diskatzoi lechule yoma. So I brought you the Shulchan Aruch here in Chav Aleph, the part that I underlined in ein olea ata. Most, if the money isn't on the pillow right now, the gamlo hayala ben hashmashos, and it wasn't there ben hashmashos either, right? So this was his case about how the money arrived during Shabbos. Mutal taltala, you're allowed to move the pillow. Afilu yichtal amos v'nicham ala mi ba'od yom. Even if you designated it for money and you had the money there on Friday, just not ben hashmashos. Right? Came in shesilk and koneh ben hashmashos, since you removed it before Shabbos started, and then it only came back during Shabbos. The pillow is not muktza after the money is removed. While the money is there, it's usr. But after that, it's no longer a basis. Now, just a side note in terms of requiring it to be there bein hashmashos, I didn't bring you the sources on the sheet, but the Mishnah Brura in Shin Tes Chav Zayin says that means all of bein hashmashos. Kol bein hashmashos. Remember that there's a lot of machlokes. What is bein hashmashos? Before Shkia, after Shkia, how long? Is it an instant? And we just have a suffix about what the rest of the time is. But Mishnah Berurah says it's only there, it's only a basis if it's there all bein hashmashos. If it's only there for part of bein hashmashos, the item does not become a basis. And the Prima Gadim in Reishayin Tes Eshal Avram Yudalid at the end of Yudalid draws this from the Gemara in Shabbos Mem Gimel, which says, Ba'odon Alav Kol Bein Hashmashos. If it's there, all Bein Hashmashos. That's the language of Mishnah Berurah. The Prima Gadim himself says, it makes sense. Because Bein Hashmashos is a safek, I'm not really sure when actually the moment the Shabbos is beginning. That's where we view Bein Hashmashos. So we're not going to be machmir on the safek. However, if you want to see other points of view, the Aruch HaShabbos, Perek Yates, Ha'ara Tav Beis, has more on this with a challenge from the Tehillah of David. But the general assumption, I think, is that as the Mishnah Berurah says, it has to be there all Bein Hashmashos in order to become a basis. Fine, that's a side note. An item does become a basis while the muktzah item is still present on it, such that the lower item may not be moved, and you're not allowed to shake off the upper item. That's what we think. But there is actually a machlokas we've shown him. The first you I bring here is the Baal HaMor. The Baal HaMor goes back to one of the introductory cases we talked about. It's the case of the bags, right? The glass vessels of the Karni de Umna that were on my animal when Shabbos started. It was the last of our introductory cases. So the Baal HaMor writes in Chav Beis, V'okimna b'shlifi zutri. We're talking about small burdens. Deloma vata kli mehechano. It's not koma vata kli mehechano. Sheyocho lishmot kol kar v'kar mitachtein. You can remove all the cushions one by one. Right? And he says, Ve'ainz and Nas have buses the Dabar Asr, and he gives you two explanations. Number one, Shaloha Yuala Bein Hashmashos. It wasn't there Bein Hashmashos. And then he has a second point, which we're gonna come back to. Say it now. He says, first his answer is, it wasn't there Bein Hashmashos, therefore it's not a buses, even when the Mukta item is on the pillow. Right? He's allowing me to shift the pillow with the muktzah item on it. So it sounds like it doesn't even become a muktzah, a basis, when the muktzah is on it. But then he adds, V'ot shlo nisanan taktehen ela abas l'shom tan. The only, your goal was, let me drop them onto the pillow and then roll them off the pillow. So therefore, you didn't intend to, you did not intend to leave them there, and that's may be an important second factor. But your first view, the Baal HaMor, it doesn't become a basis even when the muktzah is on it. Your second view is that no, it does become a muktzah, it does become a basis while the muktzah item is on it, and that's Tosus's position regarding the money on the pillow. If you take a look at Chav Gimel, right? Yesh la mos asa la taltala. I quoted this earlier already. I quoted this in the beginning when I was making my argument about Tafel versus Das. So Tosfos says, it's just the same Tosfos that we saw there. How could someone put money on the pillow on purpose on Shabbos? So he said it's where the non-Jew put it or the Tinoch put it, Ladas Yisrael. But his point is, it becomes a basis at that point. Right? While the coins are on it, the pillow does indeed become a basis. Rabbi Kiva Eger in his Chidushim expresses surprise about this. Says, well, what about the Shlifi Zutri case, which are on the pillow? Why isn't that an issue? The Orcha Shabbos in Perek Yates Ha'ara Shin Tzadiches wonders whether Tosfos would say that it becomes a basis even if you intended to remove the item, like the Shlifi Zutri. Maybe he would in fact disagree. Maybe he would change his mind. But your first view is, no, it doesn't become a basis. Balamar. Your second view is, yes, it does become a basis. Tosfos. And then you have the Rashba. And the Rashba says that it becomes a basis, and this is like that second point in the Baal Amor, it becomes a basis if you intend to leave the Isser there through Shabbos. But if Daito Lesalkan, as I underlined in Chav Dalet, then it does not become a basis. He's talking about the case of the table with the bones and the shells on it. You didn't intend to leave it there. The Magid Avram brings this in Shin Ches if Katan Nun. The basis for it, though, is the Shlifi Zutri discussion, the discussion about those burdens that you dropped from the donkey. This also ties into the discussion of Bitul Klima Hechano, right? The issue of whether it's Bitul Klima Hechano if I put a Moktza item down on something, but I'm intending to remove it. That will
be the bomb where you can't create a basis on Shabbos.
According to the Baal Hamor, well, unless I adopt his second point, you didn't intend to remove it. But if I just stop there, then yeah, there's no such thing as a basis. Once Shabbos starts, whatever had a Moktza item on it is a basis, whatever doesn't, doesn't, and will not become a basis even with a Moktza item on it.
Which view does Hillel fit in?
Which view does?
Hillel. When we had
Menar as a tabla. Right, so Hillel said... Right, so Hillel will fit with either one. Hillel can be satisfactory to either one. Hillel says it's not a basis. Either Baal Hamor says, of course it's not a basis. It came there during Shabbos. Or second Pshita in the Baal Hamor and the Rashba, you didn't intend to leave it there. Yeah.
Is the Shabbos going to change if you're talking about something that Nolad in Shabbat?
Yeah,
for example, I'm going to put Nakla with the door of the water from Mazgan.
Right. So he would say the same thing. You plan to remove it as long as I have a way to remove it. No. נכון. וזה, אי אפשר לנער. נכון. Those are the three views. In practice, the Mishnah Berurah seems to follow, and I brought it for you in Chavav, but I brought you Chavhei as the Shulchan Aruch that he's commenting on, dealing with the case of the burdens that you drop onto the pillow. Right, so we said there in the Shulchan Aruch that you can drop the Shlifei Zutri. Where was it? Sheyachol. It was the. Yeah, no, but I wanted to see where. Oh, and the last one. Dafkum Masuas Ketan. Ben Masuas Ketanim. Sheyachol L'shamta Mitachtehen. Masuas Ketan. So the Mishnah Berurah writes, "Below Nesru Mitam Basis L'Davar Ha'Asur Kamen Shaloh Hayualei and Ben Ashmashos." The Mishnah Berurah seems to follow Tosfos. You just didn't create a basis because it wasn't there. Benash Mashos. He didn't say anything about what your intent was. Whether you intended to remove it or not, it doesn't become a basis. The Chazon Ish challenges him. The Chazon Ish, which I brought you in Chav Zayin, challenges that and says, really? Remember the whole discussion about Shiare Kosos? Right? The non-Jew comes along and he drinks wine in your cups, and now the wine is not kosher wine, and you've created a basis, you've created a muktza on Shabbos. That was a question of grafsha, you created grafsha rei on Shabbos, and so on. But he says, if you really believe that you can't make a basis on Shabbos, what's the problem? You just dumped out the wine. Right? What's the issue? Why is that a discussion? The Chazon Ish does not like this. And he says you need to be Minaer. He's not a the Chazon Ish is not a fan. There's more discussion of this in the Orach HaShabbos, and I gave you the reference there in Chaf Ches, where he goes into this issue at greater length in terms of the Chazon Ish and potential answers.
What was the case of the Baal in the Kunt? Obviously, that's not the Hashmoshes.
Right, it's not the Ben Hashmashas. So we have to talk about that. That's the case of, I mentioned this when we introduced it, that's the case where it's miyuchad for that purpose. It's the spot where the egg is always found. So that changes
but
things.
But if you laid it in a bowl of yours or something like that?
Yes.
That
would be we will get back to that. I'm not sure we can get back to that today. It's going to depend upon the next year. So I think that we are machmir when we can be, but otherwise we have a Mishnah Berurah as a default, I think. Meaning it's better not to, but that you have Mishnah Berurah siding with Tosfos. That would seem to be something to rely on. Okay. What may you do with a basis? Now that we've talked a lot about how you make a basis, we have all of, 6 minutes left. Let's talk about what you're allowed to do with something that is a basis. Are you allowed to move the basis letzarach gufo, letzarach makomo? So the Mishnah in Source Chavtes, that we already saw, was the discussion about the money on the pillow. And first of all, we said it's only if you're meniach, and then you had Rabbi Yochanan's comment. But now we have to understand what Rabbi Yochanan was talking about. So now we have to see him. Rabbi Rachana quoted Rabbi Yochanan to say in the last line of Source Chavtes, Lo shanu el letzarach gufo. This is only if it is letzarach gufo. But if it's letzarach makomo, then you move the item with the mukta on top of it. You move the barrel, you move the pillow, and it's no issue. So there are two ways you could take Rabbi Yochanan. Either Rabbi Yochanan is giving me a kula, and what he's saying is, even in the case of meniach, right? I mean, either way, it's a kula. He's saying you can pick up the barrel and move it, you can pick up the pillow and move it. But is he talking about the case of meniach and saying, even there, you're allowed to pick up the barrel and move it if you are tzarach legufo, tzarach mekomo, whatever. Or is he only in the case of shocheyach? In which case, I don't know what he would allow in the case of meniach. Right? That's the question. Is he talking about meniach even and saying you can move it, tzarach legufo, tzarach mekomo? Or is he only talking about shocheyach? So the Beis Yosef's position is, and it's in Source Lamed, but in the interest of time, I'm not going to read it inside. He says Rabbi Yochanan is only talking about shocheyach. That's the Beis Yosef's view. He's not talking about meniach. As far as shocheyach, Rabbi Yochanan says that you're allowed to move the pillow letzarach gufo, but you have to be menayer. And tzarach makomo, you're allowed to move the pillow because shaking the thing off isn't going to help you. If it's tzarach makomo, I need the place where it is. I can't do anything. If I shake off the mukta item and it's in the makom, then I'm stuck. When you say tzarach gufo, tzarach makomo, by the way, you understand. I mean tzarach gufo makomo of the buses. Not tzarach gufo makomo of the mukta item on top of it, because then it just is a question of, well, what's the status of the mukta item on top of it? That doesn't help me.
No, makomo is both.
No, but it's the makom of the lower item that matters.
Okay, but
that's the Beis Yosef. Is that in shocheyach? Shocheyach, you're allowed to move it for tzarach gufo makomo of the lower item, as needed, right? I should be menayer if I can. And for meniach, I may not do anything. That's the idea.
According to Rashi, that it versus comes tough on where I'm addressing the status of the mix on top. So whatever that is, and all the different types of mix that we learned from. Move it, not move it. The
busy
should have the same status.
Right, but the point is of Mashocheach, so it didn't become a busis. That's the idea. On the other hand, Rabbeinu Yerucham disagrees, as quoted in the Beis Yosef, and he says, no, even if you're meniach money on a bed, you are allowed to move it. Let's talk gufo, let's talk makomo of the bed. He says it applies to meniach as well. Rabbeinu Yerucham is the mekil. The Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch side with the Beis Yosef. If you're meniach, you may not move it. Even the Targum v'Targum Makoma, I brought you the Rama on the sheet in Source Lamed Aleph. Hagav Afilu Targufo Ola Targum Makomo. That is the position of the Rambam.
This is only in something where the muktzah itself would not be allowed to be removed.
Well, I'm getting there. That's my next point. Hang on. But that's the idea. I brought you the Magen Avraham also. Did I bring you the Magen Avraham? No, I didn't. I skipped it. It's not so germane. The Magen Avraham says explicitly this point that if it's for the sake of the item on top, it doesn't help you at all. It's only gufo makomo of the lower item. So now I get to the question that Rabbi Zeering anticipated, which is, what if the aser item on top is a klisha malachto le'iser, which you are allowed to move? Litzarach gufo, litzarach makomo. So the Prima Gadim says in Lamed Beis, in klisha malachto le'iser munach halav tzarach iunim havi basis. It's not so clear if it's a basis. Litzarach gufo makomo, shari letalta malachto le'iser. You would be allowed to move the upper kli, as Rabbi Yeres gave in his shir. Litzarach gufo, litzarach makomo. So yesh lomar da tachto ma basisu. So then maybe the bottom one isn't the basis at all. Right, so the question I had in mind when I read this Prima Gadim is, does he mean it's not a basis at all because the item is so easily removed? In other words, if I needed the lower item, which is the makom of the upper item, I can just take off the top item, so it doesn't become a basis at all. Not that it's a basis with the characteristics of the upper item, but it's not a basis at all, because I can just remove the upper item if I need whatever's below. Yeah, because I can move a clean rock list, so I'm going to
go.
Sorry?
I discussed it in my first share, right?
That, I don't remember anymore.
Right, but that it depends
I
on whether,
apologize.
That if klishon lachto le'iser isn't a form of muktzah at all.
Yes.
Or is it, it's just a holder of mukhtar's kilim.
Well, that's, alright, so that's a different.
No, but then it won't even have. Then what he's saying is not a basis at all.
Right.
Right? Because it's not. Basis only applies to muktzah, and therefore it'd be mutter even mechamel etzel.
Right, but I don't think you'd even need to come on to that. In other words,
but that's even not
making that
it's
right.
Mechamel etzel. That's what he's asking.
No, but what I'm saying is, if you're allowed to move the upper item with tzarach mekomo, then anytime I need the barrel that's below, I'm allowed to move it even if I don't have.
No, but mechamel etzel. Can you move the pillow, right, which is a basis, mechamel etzel? That's the question.
But again, mechamel etzel for what?
For the pillow.
Right, but if it's mechamel etzel for the pillow, then I can move the muktzah item off of the pillow.
No, not
anyway.
Not if it's a basis.
But it doesn't become a basis in the first place,
no,
because I knew before Shabbat
no,
that I would be able to do it.
That's not the question, right? He's saying is, will it become a basis to the
I'll tell you what, it's 11:30, and I have to finish this section, so I'm going to hold off and we can discuss it on the car ride, or if you're coming with me or not.
No, right.
We'll figure this out. Yeah, Ron, you were going
to... I don't understand
what
he wants to say. אז אני לא מבין כאילו מה הוא רוצה להגיד פה אולי שזה לא בסיס או שזה בסיס זאת אומרת למה בכלל מעניין אותי אם זה בסיס או לא אם אני יכול, אם זה חבד שאני יכול להסיר מה נפקמינה שזה יהיה בסיס או לא
מבני שמה קורה אם אני לא מזיז את זה לצורך גופו ומקומו
זה מה שאני אזיז את זה
to protect it, to protect the pillow
right Now that part is true. I don't agree with the rest of what you said, but I agree with that point. That it, yes, mechamel etzel will be yeah. Okay. So but the question is that this is the Prima Gadim's view. The Prima Gadim says tzarach iyun. He says he's not sure. The Tehillah of David Shinches Aleph quotes Rishonim to say that it is a basis. The problem is he quotes these Rishonim who the Aruch HaShabbos says I looked in those Rishonim I didn't see it there. But if you look at the Ritvan Kufnun Dalet Amud Beis, he gives two reasons why the Karnei de Umna are Muktzah. The Karnei de Umna, right, the blood letters and stuff that you drop on the pillow, where we said it doesn't make the pillow into a basis. So why would Karnei de Umna be Muktzah? So one reason is Mius, they're disgusting. The other is Chisaron Kis. So he says Mius would only prohibit like Klisha Malachto Le'iser. Mukta Machmas Mius has the same status as Klisha Malachto Le'iser. And yet, if they were on the pillow and it made the pillow a basis, you wouldn't be allowed to shake them off. So that tells me that it can generate a basis. That's the Tehillah David's argument. He says, from the fact that Karnei de Umna as Mukta Machmas Mius, which is equal to Klisha Malachto Le'iser, could theoretically create a basis, that shows klisha malachto le'iser can in fact create a basis. So the Aruch HaShabbos in Yud Tes Ha'ara Shin Pei Dalet says to be strict, but he says even still you would be allowed, unquestionably you'd be allowed to move the basis for gufo makomo like whatever's on top of it. As in fact the Mishnah writes, I brought you in Lama Dalet, dina basis ka'osa mokta shalav. It adopts the status of whatever it is on top of it. So therefore, if what's on top of it is a klisha malachto le'iser, then you'd be allowed to move the lower item like a klisha malachto le'iser. That would be the idea. But the basic point is, generally, buses may not be moved. Let's say gufo u Mekomo, where would the Beis Yosef, if you were Meniach, you can't do it. However, if the upper item is a Klisha Machla de Yisur, then you'd be certainly be allowed to move the Lord Letzach Gufo, Letzarech Mekomo. Very practical issue that can come up in a household. So there's a lot still to talk about. I want to talk about the question of what if I didn't actually intend to leave it there for Shabbos, what the definition of Shocheach is. What if I didn't mean for the Usher item to be on top of the Mutter item? I intended it to be on Shabbos in that location, but I didn't intend for it to be on top of it. And what if I only intended it to be there Ben Hashmashos? And then we have to get back to the question, which I said will be for next time anyway, Basis Li Yisru Leheter. So God willing, our next year is Wednesday at 11:30. Thank you very much.